Hello, my name is Andy Miller, and I'm the president of Wesley Biblical Seminary based in Ridgeland, Mississippi. We are developing trusted leaders for faithful churches, and we do that based in the authority of Scripture and in the reality that Christians can be transformed. We do that also through bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees. We'd love for you to learn more about Wesley Biblical Seminary at wbs.edu, where we're developing trusted leaders for faithful churches.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Friday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Hope you're having a great morning. This is the day before my wife's birthday. May 31st is Debbie's birthday, and she has a big day planned today with a girlfriend, and they're going to a neighboring town to shop. Girls like to do that. Guys would never want to do that. But anyway, I'm excited for her. And then we're going to have a big day tomorrow going to Little Rock to visit our youngest daughter, Sarah. And she just bought a house. And we're going to check out her new house and just have a wonderful time on Debbie's birthday. Well, I wanted to read to you from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, a great way to start your day. It says, beginning in verse 16, "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." So no matter what's going on in life, you can rejoice in the Lord. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can call upon His name. He promises to hear us when we pray. And then we can give Him thanks. And we are commanded to give thanks in everything. It's not God's will that certain things happen to us, but it's God's will that in the things that happen to us, obviously, rape's not the will of God, murder's not the will of God, arson's not the will of God, things like that. But in those things, no matter how bad it is, we can still give thanks because God is over it all. Well, it's exciting today to welcome to the program my good friend, Bishop E.W. Jackson, pastor, author, Marine Corps veteran, Harvard-trained lawyer, and we're going to talk a little bit about Harvard, and president of STAND, Staying True to America's National Destiny. So, Bishop, it's great to see you, my friend. Is he ready to go? I see him. Maybe he doesn't hear me. Well, okay, he's connecting now. Well, Bishop Jackson is a graduate from... Oh, he's asking me which comm, Randy.
That's not connecting at all.
Oh, I hear you now. Bishop, I hear you now.
That's not connecting at all.
Yes. Do you hear him, Randy? All right. Well, I'll let Randy work with Bishop Jackson to get connected. And, you know, Bishop B.W. Jackson is a graduate from Harvard Law School. We've talked to him before about that, but there's a big, if you've kept up in the news, you know there's a big feud going on between the Trump administration and Harvard Law School. And it involves a lot of money, and Trump doesn't want to support Harvard with federal dollars if Harvard is going to be a breeding ground for anti-Semitism and all the woke rhetoric and DEI and all that junk. And so he's putting the screws to them, and they're trying to fight back. So we're going to hear from Bishop Jackson on that in just a moment. And then we want to talk about the Biden cover-up. You know, that's not something that is going to go away. I believe that unless the politicians are all in for him and covering up for him, Jay. Unless they come clean with that and what they did, if they just act like it's we're having all sorts of technical trouble.
Jeff, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now, Bishop.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Technology's great until there's a problem. So, Bishop, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks so much for having me. Pleasure to be with you, as always.
Well, okay. So, we were talking about Trump and Harvard, your alma mater. It used to be something that people would hold with pride. I don't know about now. Have you been following that story, Bishop?
Oh, very, very closely, because, you know, it's sad to not be able to support your alma mater, to not contribute to them, to not go to their events. I get the Harvard Divinity Magazine, the Harvard Magazine, and the Harvard Law Bulletin every single month, and I can't find a single article in there ever that gives a balanced even perspective, let alone a conservative one. I found this out yesterday, and I did not know this. Did you know that 41% of the foreign students at Harvard are from communist China? 41% are from communist China. Communist China gave Harvard the largest single gift they've ever given when they changed the name of the School of Public Health from the Harvard School of Public Health to the Harvard H.T. Chan, I told him T.H. Chan School of Public Health, when Communist China gave them a gift of $350 million. Mm. Now, that's what we're looking at, really, is a situation in which our colleges and these major universities particularly have been corrupted by foreign influence for the purpose of infiltrating and undermining our country. And sadly, Harvard, instead of behaving like the school that it was created to send the gospel of Jesus Christ across the world, has really, in many ways, I mean, I hate to put it this way, but I think it's the truth, has become a traitor to our country.
Mm. Well, I know Trump wants to withhold all that federal money, which amounts to a lot of dollars. Harvard's fighting back, but it seems to me they don't have much a position to really defend. They're guilty of doing what he's saying they're doing.
Look, they've got a $52 billion endowment, Pastor Jeff. $52 billion. What do they need federal money for, number one? But number two, look, we do live in a country with a First Amendment. They can think and say whatever they want to think and say. What they don't have the right to do is hands in our pockets and take our money and demand their with our money to denounce, to undermine our country, to engage in anti-Semitism and all of this stuff. Look, if they want to do that and they're not breaking the law, they can do it on their own dime, but they can't do it with our money. So right. To me, this is a no-brainer.
Well, how do you see this finishing out? Do you think they'll knuckle under, or they're just going to say, okay, we'll do it our own way?
Well, you know, this thing is really in the hands of God, Jeff, and I say that for this reason. We have a corrupted judiciary, unfortunately, of leftist activists who see the judiciary not as an opportunity to enforce and interpret the law, but as an opportunity to enforce their agenda upon the country. So you got judges who think they can run the foreign policy of the country from their bench. And there's nothing in the Constitution that gives them sweeping authority to control the foreign policy of our country. That's put into the hands of the President of the United States of America. So, you know, this thing may land before the Supreme Court. And even then, I say, other than Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito, you just never know. Because, frankly, I wish I had more confidence in Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett and Neil Gorsuch. But frankly, I think that they're questionable assets on the court right now, at best, who will land on the right place in the right place sometime. But sometime you just look at the decisions they make and think, what in the world? How are they coming to these conclusions? So I think this is in the hands of God. We got to be praying very hard that the Lord will work this thing out and put power in our country where the people and the Constitution determine it ought to be.
Well, when you look at some of these cases that the Supreme Court, in my opinion, Bishop, desperately need to weigh in on as Trump keeps getting stopped with how he wants to send people back to their country and all the work of ICE. They want to gum up the works with all this habeas corpus and due process and all. It would take 30, 40, 50 years to process all these people out if we do it the way that the liberals want us to do it. It seems to me that the Supreme Court needs to weigh in on this quickly, and the decision is a very simple one. Do you think the Supreme Court is so marginalized that they won't just rule based on the facts?
Well, we just had a case, for example, in Massachusetts of a kid who wore a T-shirt to school during they were having these homosexual LGBTQ so-called events, and he wore a T-shirt to school that said there are only two genders. They suspended the kid and basically told him, you're not allowed to wear that. But everybody could wear all of their homosexual gender identity stuff, and that's okay, but you can't wear a T-shirt that says there are only two genders. Well, that case was presented to the Supreme Court for certiorari, and they denied it. The only two judges who said we need to take this case were Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito. And the others basically said, no, it's not right. We don't need to take it. But so these essential questions that you would think the Supreme Court ought to take, like like a trade judge thinking you can tell the president of the United States that he can't implement tariffs because there's not an emergency. And J.D. Vance pointed out, we've got countries threatening to deny us essential goods and gum up our supply chain. He said that does make it an emergency because it threatens to destabilize our economy. And the president has to act to protect the economy of the American people. But some pinhead judge, no. It's not an emergency till I say it is. Well, the appeals court struck that down. So for now, the president can implement these trade agreements. But yeah, I hope the Supreme Court will take these issues up and will come down on the right side of this, and that Gorsuch and Amy Coney Barrett and Kavanaugh will find themselves ultimately and stop siding with the left. You know, the left never sides with the conservative court.
No.
But for some reason, conservatives think it gives them some kind of credibility to side with the left. And we're sadly seeing that phenomenon happen on the court today.
Okay, so Bishop, when it comes to Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett, I mean, we were told that they were conservative justices. Yeah. Do you think they're just wolves in sheep's clothing? How do you view them?
You know, what it always comes down to for me, Pastor Jeff, is this. Okay, you say you're conservative, but what is the root of your convictions? Because you see, these judges, if they're not rooted and grounded in Judeo-Christian values, in Christian principle, and understand that our founding fathers gave us a constitution that was intended to limit the power of government and to assure our liberties as individuals, then the moment, just like Gorsuch, I mean, Gorsuch wrote the Bostock case in which he said, essentially, that the 1964 Civil Rights Act, when it mentioned sex, means gender identity and sexual orientation. Well, he said he was an originalist and a textualist. Well, that's not the original intent of the writers of that legislation. I mean, come on, how do you read something into a piece of legislation that's over 50 years old, read something into it that's only 5 years old, and you somehow imply that that's what they intended. You know that's not what they intended. So I don't know what it is. I don't know whether it's confusion or we've just been deceived or what the situation is.
Well, it's definitely not smarts. I mean, all the people on the Supreme Court are smart. So it's not like you have nine people that are mentally, slow. So it seems to me, Bishop, that there's an agenda and somebody's speaking in their ear and saying, hey, you need to judge this way. I don't know that, but it seems like that because a lot of these cases seem very open and shut. Anybody would look at the facts and just say, oh, we rule this way. But they don't do that.
When you're brainwashed, you can't see things clearly. And I think, sadly, educational system has produced people who simply cannot think clearly, and these justices may be part of that.
Mm. Well, praise God for Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito, and they're the strong voices of the conservatives. And we need to pray for the Supreme Court, just as you said, Bishop, that the fog would clear and they'd be able to see and judge correctly and righteously with these cases, because Amen. They are important to America. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here talking to my good friend, Bishop E.W. Jackson. And we're talking about current events, what's going on in America today. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Biden cover-up by the Biden administration and by the legacy media. I want to get Bishop Jackson's take on that. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here talking to my good friend, Bishop E.W. Jackson, pastor, author, Marine Corps veteran, Harvard-trained lawyer, president of Staying True to America's National Destiny. Bishop's newest book is called Sweet Land of Liberty, and a great book where he shares a lot about his life and then goes into to America. And I guess, Bishop, how would you put that in just a couple of sentences, the crux of the book?
It's a book about my love for this country, as the title suggests, Sweet Land of Liberty, but also about my life as an American and as an American of African ancestry, to demonstrate the beauty of this country in providing opportunity for any individual who is willing to take advantage of it, no matter where you come from. So, and then, of course, I address a bunch of the policy issues that I think our country is teetering on the edge of going terribly wrong on, and how we need to right the ship of state.
Amen. Well, I encourage you to check it out, and it's a great book. Well, let's, Bishop, let's talk about the Biden cover-up. The conservative anchors are hitting this hard, as they should. Jake Tapper's book came out, and it seems so hypocritical. He was one of the ones covering up for Biden, and now he's trying to cash in on the fact that we all knew the emperor had no clothes, but the Biden White House and the liberal media were all trying to cover up for him. I don't think personally that this will go away, nor should it. I know Chuck Schumer was interviewed and he said, well, we're moving forward. He wouldn't even answer the questions concerning his part in being complicit in this lie. It should, in my opinion, correct me if I'm wrong, but this should send a message to every American saying, don't believe these people because they're proven liars.
Yeah, it's a reminder to us of several things, too, Pastor Jeff. One is that the sovereigns of this country are not politicians, but the people. The Constitution begins with the words, we the people. And the theory of our government is we the people have delegated authority to our government to serve us, and to serve us within the bounds of the Constitution. If you have people who have decided that the president is incapable of doing the job and they will do it instead, they are violating the Constitution, the laws of the land. They're really committing a tremendous deception against the American people, and frankly, treason against the Constitution, because they don't have that authority. Mm-hmm. And when they say, well, that's in the past, let's move on. No, this was a major violation of the constitutional system of government in our country, and we need to address it so that it never, ever happens again.
Well, for sure. And I don't know how, if you're CNN or NBC or any of the legacy media outlets, how do you have anybody watching you after this? Why would anyone ever believe you? Now, I believe that, hey, we are all sinners and we sometimes sin and it's on purpose. I mean, we meant to do what we did, but then we get caught. You have to own it. You have to say, hey, I sinned. David, you know, with Bathsheba, I have sinned. And then you can try and rebuild trust. But until you do that, why would anyone believe you again?
we shouldn't. And, you know, people often say to me, but, you know, people have always sinned and it's always been like that. I say, no, this is different. The age we're living in is different. As Jesus said, men would turn away their ears from the truth and be turned to fables. Now people are celebrating sin as if it's righteousness. I mean, we're in Isaiah mm-hmm. 5 times. They're calling evil good and good evil. And so basically, just like all good Marxists, and that's what these people are really informed by. They're not informed by Adam Smith. They're not informed by Hobbes. They're informed by Karl Marx. And the Marxian morality is the only thing that matters is getting power over the system. And you can lie, you can steal, you can cheat, you can deceive, you can even kill. As long as that's what it leads to, mm-hmm. it's moral, it's good. And so these people they don't really have any compunction about lying to the American people, about deceiving us, because they don't consider it moral, because as long as what they're doing lends itself to their power and their agenda being implemented, then it's essentially good. And that's what we as Christians are up against. We're up against people who have completely lost touch with right and wrong. And you're right. How can you have any credibility, and why should we ever believe anything that you have to say?
Well, and I think about Bishop Kamala Harris. I mean, she was one of the biggest perpetrators of the lie that Joe Biden was fine and sharp and, you know, mentally on top of it. I mean, all that is just fabricated. They were saying now that Jill Biden was pretty much running the country. She was running the meetings because Joe couldn't complete a sentence. And they're still trying to salvage his legacy, which I think it's unsalvageable. But that is a crime, as you said. That's treasonous. Do you think that there will be charges come up against some of these people?
Well, I would certainly hope so, because remember, we're talking about the nuclear trigger. We're talking about people having control of the greatest, most destructive force on Earth, who have been given absolutely no authority for that control. I don't know whether it's George Soros or Barack Obama or Jill Biden or Michelle or maybe a little cabal of them who are really telling the president what to do, what to think, what to say, propping him up, so to speak. But those people weren't given authority to use the nuclear trigger. And yet they're the ones who seem to be carrying that authority. That is so dangerous that you can't overstate the case. Somebody needs to be prosecuted for having engaged in that kind of usurpation of authority. So I hope so. Do I have much hope that it will happen? Not really, because I just think the sweep of politics tends to move us away from the past and mm-hmm. also tends to make us forget the past, and we shouldn't forget this one.
Okay, so if the shoe were on the other foot, if that were people trying to cover up for Donald Trump, who had the same issue that Joe Biden did, they would go after the Republicans.
Oh, people would be in jail. I mean, my goodness. They put Navarro in jail. They put Steve Bannon in jail. They put peaceful, loving, singing, praying protesters in jail for being outside of a baby killing clinic. So I have no doubt whatsoever. They tried to put President Trump in jail. I have no doubts whatsoever that they would be putting people in jail if they could. And look, we don't want to prosecute people just because we don't like them or agree with them. But where they are really in violation of the law, they've got to be held accountable.
Right, for sure. Well, how do you see, Bishop, how do you see the Democrat Party moving forward? To me, they have no message. They're just, whatever Trump says, they're against it. As I've stated on the program numerous times, if Trump said it's good to drink water and breathe air, they'd be against it. They're just against anything that they hate him so much. But you can't survive as a political party just being, we're against this other, you know, the president at every turn. What do they do moving forward?
You know, I think there are two possible scenarios here. One is, I think one more major precipitating factor, and they could literally implode as a party. They could literally just give up the label of Democrat Party and try to figure out something else to call themselves and figure out who they're going to be. You can't be the party of Bernie Sanders and AOC, self-professed socialists, and also be a party that appeals to the vast majority of Americans who are not socialists. So does it have a split? Does it create two parties? I don't know, but I think another precipitating factor, something else major happens, and they could be in a situation where they can't recover. That's one scenario. The other scenario is that some voice emerges, moderate voice emerges, that calls the Democrats back to sanity and gets enough people with good common sense to say, you know what, I like what he's saying or she's saying. I don't agree with AOC and Bernie Sanders. I'm going to go with this guy. And ultimately, people like AOC and Bernie Sanders sort of fall by the wayside mm-hmm. as a result of the momentum that some leader can create. I think that second scenario is unlikely because I don't see anybody on the horizon who can do that.
No, and they had the vote for defunding Planned Parenthood. Every single Democrat yep. voted against it.
Yep.
It's impossible, virtually impossible to be a Democrat in power if you're not going to toe the party line with pro-abortion.
That's the altar which they worship, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just sickening. And then if you get on board with the biological males playing in female sports, as Bill Maher has been saying repeatedly, that's a loser with the American people. Do you ever see that changing in the Democrat Party?
Well, I don't see how they can, because they have, you know, we talked about their intelligence, the intelligence of these academic institutions. Say their problem is not intellect. Their problem is moral stupidity, that they have really, they've lost the moral framework. I say, you know, everybody knows, and they know, if you jump off a cliff or you jump off the Empire State Building, gravity's going to kill you because you're going to fall to the ground and splat. But they've lost touch with the fact that when you jump off the moral cliff, the same thing happens. It may mm-hmm. be slower, but it's going to happen. You simply cannot go against the laws of God and think that things are going to go well with you. And so that's where these folks are. They think they can. They think they can create a new morality and a new approach. And I think what they're going to find is it leads to their self-destruction in one way or another. So they need to be given a great big dose of reality. And that is the fact that there is a God. There are absolute moral laws. And when you violate them, there are going to be consequences, not because we believe in violence, we don't, but because you reap what you sow. You can't sow destruction and death and think mm-hmm. you're going to reap life and prosperity.
Right. That's a great way to put it. You know, I've always stated that with the in the black culture, you know, Barack Obama wanted to, from my perspective, wanted to create this war between whites and blacks. But there is something with the hip hop culture that has infiltrated the black community that's just rotten. And you can't live like that. And it's just exactly what you said, Bishop. You can't live like that and prosper. That's jumping off the moral cliff. Do you see that turning at all in the black community?
I think what really has to happen, Jeff, is that the black church, the churches that are pastored, that are predominantly Americans of African ancestry, pastored by Americans of African ancestry, have got to turn toward a biblical worldview and walk away from the racial worldview. The racial worldview says what really matters is the color of one's skin, and I define my identity by my complexion. But the biblical worldview says what really matters is what's in a person's heart, and every individual is going to be judged by God on that basis. And when you turn toward that, as opposed to seeing white people and black people and Hispanic people, you just see individuals. You just see people, all of whom fall short of the glory of God, and all of whom are created by God for his purposes, and all of whom are worthy of love and redemption and so forth. Well, maybe not worthy of it, but God wants to give it to them. So when we look at the world that way and look at life that way, it brings us together. But when you look at life in this tribalistic fashion of, you know, it's us versus them, and when the church does that, the church is really in violation of the new commandment Jesus gave us, which said, love one another as I have loved you, as opposed to love one another as long as the person's the same complexion or has the same background you have. I mean, that's not Christianity.
No, not at all. Let me shift gears on you a little bit and talk about the big, beautiful bill. That's gotten a lot of flack because it's raising the debt ceiling. And I think that, I heard Elon Musk say he was disappointed that we'd have a bill that would raise the debt ceiling. Peter Navarro, you mentioned his name. He says that when you put all this together, he thinks that could give us a $2 trillion surplus. What do you think about the big, beautiful bill?
Look, first of all, let me just say, I love this president. I really do. And I'm so grateful for how God is using him in so many ways. He's not perfect, however, and he doesn't get everything perfectly. But that's the nature of life and politics. Jesus is not on the ballot. Jesus is not the president. He's perfect. Nobody else is. Now, having said that, look, there are things about this bill I don't like. I don't like raising the debt ceiling. I think we're going to crash if we don't do something about this massive debt we're in. Mm-hmm. However, I really believe in President Trump as a master negotiator. And I really believe that he wants to the fullest extent possible, do what is good, not only for the short term, but for the long term benefit of the country. And I think what he's thinking, of course, I don't know the man personally, but this is my guess. He's thinking that the way to get out of the debt crisis we are in is not just simply cutting, because, of course, every time you do that, you slow down the economy, but rather to grow our way out of it. And he's doing some things, I think, that are going to be massively beneficial to the prosperity of the country and help us pay down that debt without necessarily putting the American people through a crisis.
Yeah, very well said. I think that you give him the benefit of the doubt. I mean, Trump he's not a bozo when it comes to finances. You don't get to be a multi-billionaire by being, financially stupid. So I think it's worth it for us to say, hey, let's back this and see where it leads us. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here talking to Bishop E.W. Jackson. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question for Bishop Jackson, give us a call and let's talk. If we learned anything from this election, it's how important it is for us to fight, fight, fight. We also learned how desperately the left wants to fight to take babies' lives, which is why every day Preborn Ministries fights for the babies. Preborn's network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, fighting for mothers deciding between the life or the death of their child. Preborn welcomes these women with God's love and offers them a free ultrasound to introduce their precious baby and hear the beautiful heartbeat. This amazing encounter gives her baby a fighting chance, and the majority of the time, the mother will choose life. Would you join Preborn in the fight for life? One ultrasound is just $28, and $140 will sponsor 5 ultrasounds. Babies are worth fighting for. To donate, dial #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible, and Preborn has a 4-star charity rating. Fight, fight, fight for the babies.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here talking to Bishop E.W. Jackson. We're talking about things in the news and what people are talking about in terms of current events. Bishop, let me ask you this about Congress. You gave President Trump high marks, as I do too. I believe that he is fulfilling campaign promises, although he's being thwarted by activist judges and those on the left that hate him. What about Congress? How would you evaluate their progress since January 20th?
I think they're doing better under President Trump's leadership than they were when they had the majority under Joe Biden, when they seem not to be very aggressive or forthright in pushing their agenda. I think with the President of the United States in place and providing guidance for them, I think we're seeing a much more effective Congress than we saw before. I think they've got to do everything in their power to increase their majority in the House, and they've got to try to hold on to the Senate. And I think if they can do that, if they can make history and not lose the House in the off-year elections and give the president a majority in both houses again, I think the last 2 years of his presidency, I think we're going to see tremendous things happening. Because I think as this stuff winds its way through the courts and gets ultimately resolved in his favor, I think he's going to feel even more latitude to continue to push his agenda. So right now, I'm giving them better marks than I would. If you'd asked me this before he was elected and inaugurated, I'd have probably said D, if not an F. Now I'd give them maybe a B+. And I think they can still do better.
Yeah, very good. Okay, I was thinking about this the other day, Bishop. Can you think of one issue where the Democrats are on the right side and the Republicans are on the wrong side?
Not one. You know, it's interesting you said that because I thought about the same thing. I said, well, is there anything I can say, yes, I agree with them on this? They're wrong on everything. Mm-hmm. I just read an article this morning about this Air Force cadet who was killed by an illegal immigrant driving recklessly jet skis, killed this woman. This is Air Force cadet. She's dead. I said, now, you know, the Democrats want to run down to El Salvador and want to claim the president is somehow abusing Mahmoud Khalil by holding him. But here's a dead Air Force cadet, but killed by an illegal immigrant, and they're silent. Mm-hmm. They just don't get it right on everything. They don't even offer sort of an homage to something to say, well, you know, we feel badly about this. Mm-hmm. You don't even hear that. It's as if you know, I'm convinced of this. The American people don't matter to them. The only thing that matters is power, and they're misguided in how they think they're going to get there, but they're pursuing it with absolute relentless abandon.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that, you know, that's their ultimate, is to stay in power. And so Americans are just useful idiots to them. They're just pawns. They'll act like they support them, but it's all for you know, nefarious gains and to keep power. It's really sickening, and you can see the devil's fingerprints all over it. And you know, people need to wake up, because no one should vote for their agenda. No one. I mean, their agenda is just anti everything that is American, it seems.
Well, it's anti-God, it's anti-Christianity, and it's anti-American. In fact, you know, I've really come to this conclusion, and I don't say this to be mean or to exaggerate the case. I really believe that the Democrat Party is really a demonic cult at this point. Mm-hmm. I mean, you think about the things that they stand for. They're Marxists. They believe in killing unborn babies without limitations. They believe somehow that a girl can be born into a boy's body or vice versa, and that the mutilation of a minor's body is a good thing to do, and that parents trying to interfere with that are being bad parents and deserve to have their children taken away. I mean, this stuff is demonic, mm-hmm. Pastor Jeff. It is demonic.
Yeah, it's beyond belief, but it's happening in America. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. And if you have a question or comment for Bishop E.W. Jackson, please give us a call. And we have Jerry on the line from Texas. Jerry, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, brothers. It's good to hear you again, Brother Jackson. I hadn't talked to you in a while. Last time was I was on a tractor working in a field.
I think I remember that, Jerry.
I guess I just want to hear what you got to say. I respect and appreciate your opinions and your love for the Lord. I just read that Pam Bondi said she's no longer going to look at the Bar Association for help in picking out federal judges. I guess what should we as Christians be praying for, and how should we be helping the administration find judges that are actually constitutionalists? I heard you talk about Gorsuch and the other, that they were supposed to be originalists, and I find myself finding the same thing that you are. They're not very original to the context. I know that gender was a made-up term, I think, from one of these people that did this study in the 70s. So when the Title IX was put out, it wasn't even a term that was used. I'm going to let you go, and I'm going to listen to you. Brother Jeff, appreciate what you're doing. We're praying for y'all. Keep it up. Love you.
Thanks,
guys.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thank you, Jerry. Well, look, this is a critical question, and here's what I believe has to happen. And by the way, having practiced law for 15 years, having been a member of the Bar Association, it is wholly given over to leftist thinking. There's just nothing there for the Christian conservative. And so what I really believe is, I've often thought about this, but you know, I've only got so much bandwidth. You know, where are all the Christian, Bible-believing Christian graduates of Harvard, of Yale, of Columbia, of University of Virginia, and on, who ought to get together and start providing their own counsel to the president, their own counsel to governors, to say, these are people who we believe in? Because once again, these interviews where you're not supposed to ask the judge what they believe about this, that, or the other, I think that's just nonsense. I think you've got to explore the depths of their faith and their understanding of reality. Again, for Gorsuch to say that sex means gender identity and sexual orientation tells me that he's imbibed the lies of the left. Mm-hmm. And so we need to ferret that out. And I think a Christian legal group, for example, would be outstanding at doing that. And there's some groups already out there, of course. You've got ADF, you've got the Federalist Society, and so forth. But I think you really do need a group of Christian lawyers whose job it is to help vet people for the judiciary.
Mm, very good. We have Iris on the line from Texas. Iris, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Well, thank you. I love your show, and I love you, Pastor Bishop. And I wanted to ask you, since I think tomorrow is the last day of the Department of Government Efficiency, and they have done a tremendous job, and we have a lot to thank President Trump and Elon Musk for doing this. But I would like to see it go further. And you think there's anybody else that would be able to lead this, or a group? I'd just like your take on that. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Iris. I think it's still good. Elon Musk had to bow out, and some right. of those that started with him. But I don't think the DOGE work is stopping, is it, Bishop?
No. DOGE will continue to exist, even though they had set a goal for themselves of finishing this first leg of their work. I think by the 4th of July, actually 4th of July next year. So they're going to continue to work. The issue is leadership. I think Elon Musk, because of his independence, because of his great wealth, because he didn't know anybody, anything, was just willing to go in there and just see things for what they are, and tell it like a T-I-T-I-S, as they say. Mm-hmm. And I hope that that other leaders will emerge, or another leader will emerge with President Trump to continue to do that work. But no, the work of DOGE is definitely not over.
You know, I talked about Elon yesterday, Bishop, and since he's backed Trump and from December, according to AI, from December of 2024 until today, he's lost about $150 billion serving our country, took no money for all the stuff he's done with DOGE, and he's become a hated person. It doesn't make any sense to me at all why America would hate the guy. I use the scripture in Galatians 4:16, have I become your enemy by telling you the truth? He's exposing all the waste, fraud, and abuse. And instead of the Democrats saying, well, thanks for shining the light, they want to shoot him. How do you reconcile that in your mind?
Well, first of all, you know, thank you for this opportunity to say something that's been on my heart, and I've said a couple of times, but I need to say it more. We need to pray for Elon Musk's salvation.
Yes.
Because I really believe that Elon Musk has a heart that is open to God. Mm-hmm. He seems to have a sense of right and wrong, a sense of decency. And again, I know he's not far from a perfect person. He's been an atheist. But I really believe that if this man got, if God, just like the Apostle Paul, if God got a hold of him and he turned his wealth toward furthering the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth of God's word, oh man, you talk about, he would make George Soros probably go into apoplexy. and we need somebody like that, because we need more of these Christian billionaires and very wealthy Christians to really take a strong, bold stand to offset this kind of stand that a lot of these leftist billionaires and millionaires have taken.
Yeah, I agree. And we talked about that yesterday on the program. We do need to pray for his salvation and for Trump and all those in our government, that they would come to know Christ and have wisdom and protection, for sure, because, people would love to see President Trump dead and Elon Musk dead, although he's going to be out of the eye a little bit, the eye of the storm. Well, thanks, Iris, for that. Thanks for calling in, and thanks for listening to the program. We have Tom on the line from Illinois. Tom, welcome to the program today.
Yeah, good morning, Pastor Jeff and Bishop Jackson. I love you guys, and God bless you both for speaking out and for your ministries.
Thank you.
I wanted to speak a little bit to the Congress that you guys touched on, the Republican Congress. And I just think that we don't go far enough in calling out and stating just how inept and horrible they have been. Since in this current administration was elected, they can't get anything positive done, and they're always divided, unlike the Democrats. And then you take a lot of excuses are made for them. You take somebody like Mike Johnson. That's a speaker, right? Mike Johnson.
Yes,
right.
Mike Johnson's a speaker.
If anybody's a heretic and a phony, it's that guy. I mean, he has just been horrible. And I don't see from a Christian viewpoint how we can, you know, make excuses for him. And again, that goes for both branches of Congress in general. So I don't mean to be a discourager, but I don't see much hope from, a government standpoint. Only revival will save this nation.
Yeah, that's a good point. Now, I know Mike Johnson is an outspoken Christian bishop. I don't know if you know him. I know Rick Scarborough says he's good friends with him. He's been on the program many times, and he vouches for Mike. I think it's difficult to be the Speaker of the House and to get things done, and you know more about this than I do. What's your take?
Yeah. Well, look, I don't know him personally. I share some of this consternation about him. I think he is a wonderful Christian. Somehow, I think at times that does not translate. But that's why I said I would have given him a D or an F before President Trump got elected. Now that President Trump's been elected, I think he's kind of buttressed the Speaker, and maybe may end up doing the same thing for the Senate. Look, he's what we've got to work with. And let's just pray that he will have the fortitude to do what needs to be done. I think that's the best you can say right now, because that's all we've got, and we've got a very slim margin in the House as it is.
All right. Well, thank you, Tom. Thanks for calling in, and thanks for that question. Well, Bishop, we're about out of time. I want to thank you for coming on today. It's always a pleasure, my friend.
It's a pleasure to be with you. I'm honored. Thank you so much for having me, Pastor Jeff, and this wonderful audience. God bless all of them, and thank them for their prayers and support.
Bishop, now, real quick, where can people get a copy of the book?
They can go to our website, standamerica.us. That's standamerica.us, and they can get it there. That's probably the best way to do it, because then they'll find out about our organization, because the book really supports the work of the organization.
Yeah. Are you you speaking anywhere in the next few weeks that they could check out?
Well, not in the next few weeks, but pray for me, because I got to speak to a group of high school students graduating tomorrow morning. And boy, that's always a challenge and an important task.
Yeah, great opportunity. Well, God bless you, my friend, and I look forward to the next time that you come on the program. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. It's always a pleasure and a joy and an honor to get to speak with you. I always want to speak the truth in love, and I don't want to be nuanced to the fact that you don't know what I believe. I want you to know what I believe, and I endeavor to look at the world through the lens of Scripture, and never look at Scripture through the lens of the world. So go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. And God will use you as His witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.